And welcome everybody here today for a production of House Bill 2652. Elizabeth, we have before us the Dash 12 amendments and the Dash 13 amendments, if you could tell us what they do.
Chairman Shetterly and committee members, for the record, I'm Elizabeth Martin-Mahar with the Legislative Revenue Office. So with House Bill 2652, we recently went through that in great detail discussing the Dash 10 and 11 amendments. So I won't go through all the specifics of the bill itself. But
Thank you.
It's pollution control and business energy tax credit. And with the Dash 12, all we're doing here is, in our last meeting, we had a conceptual amendment that we were discussing. And this basically incorporates that conceptual amendment, which is basically eliminating any double dipping that could occur between the pollution control tax credit and the business energy tax credit. So, again, this is retaining current law where there is a restriction on claiming both dual federal tax credits, the federal tax credit and the state business energy tax credit, and also retaining the exemption on the business energy tax credit and the pollution control tax credit at the same time. And that is what is clarified then with the Dash 12 amendment. Section 20 is a section in the bill that was actually changed. So you have another big fat amendment, but again, it's just like the Dash 11 amendments with those conceptual amendments.
Okay.
And then with your Dash 13, it is a small one, but that's just because it is amending the existing bill, so you would need both of these taken together. So with the Dash 13, it is bringing into the pollution control tax credit statutes the same restriction on no double dipping between the pollution control tax credit and the business energy tax credit. So you have to choose one or the other. And also you would have to choose one or the other between the pollution control tax credit and the new truck engine tax credit that is in the transportation bill. So this is just clarifying that there couldn't be a situation where a truck engine could get both pollution control and this new tax engine credit.
Even though, as I understand, that would be unlikely anyway.
Exactly. DEQ can speak to that if you'd like that more clarification, but basically they couldn't think of many situations at all where the truck engine would qualify for both. But this is just putting it in writing, clarifying in their statutes this provision of the double dipping. Mm-hmm. Now, I did reduce this revenue impact on the Dash 12 slightly from the Dash 11 version. So the revenue impact, and again, there's nothing in 2003-05 biennium, but in the 05-07 when it begins, it'll be 1.7 million reduction. In the 07-09, 12.7 million. Again, you've got the real big increase there in the pollution control tax credit because of the sunset that is in current law.
Well, and also I see the business energy tax credit goes up from 1.3 million to 6.8.
Yes.
And the alternative energy devices residential tax credit goes from 279,000 to 1.2 almost.
So. Yeah. And all of these are growing just because we are beginning these tax changes in January 1st, 2006. You really only get 1 year in the 05-07 biennium from these effects of the bill.
Okay. John Ledger, you had done some research on chippers. Let's hear what you found out. And I think Representative Berger has passed out a sheet that addresses this as well, so we may let her introduce that to us, too. But go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I know more about chippers than I ever wanted to, I'll tell you that. As you know, when you look at the list of credits, you see the various forms of chippers being included. And so we looked into this. First of all, when you add up the total tax credits that were given to chippers, it represents about 1-2% of the total tax credits. So while it's a large number in individual issuances, it's only about 1.2% of the total credits they're given out. In talking with DEQ, it's kind of interesting. The DEQ and the Environmental Quality Commission actually developed a program encouraging people to use chippers. Because, as some of you know, open burning is one of the largest forms of air pollution in the state, probably exceeds the industrial base. And it's rampant, as you know, as you drive anywhere around. And so there was a program as part of the carbon monoxide and particulate program to reduce open burning by allowing people to buy chippers. And so the idea being when you land clear, you don't burn it off. And, a pile of... You know, I did a few calculations. As some of you know, I used to run air programs in another state. I did some calculations, and a pile of brush, you know, about the size of a cord would produce about 90 pounds of pollution. So if you're clearing off any amount of land, that actually is a lot of pollution if you do that commercially. So this was part of their program to reduce particulate. Now, this was done by rule, and as I understand it, under instruction from the EQC, so it certainly could be changed by rule. And I think if anyone had any concerns that chippers were being used, for instance, to buy someone in South Salem, where you can't burn anyway, a chipper, I don't know if they actually look at where you live, but I think that could be corrected by rule fairly easily just by regulating the horsepower of the chipper on which you would get the credit. But chippers are, in fact, a very effective, one of the most effective means of controlling air pollution at a dollar per ton cost. You know, it's probably a little while ago, it could have been this committee, I don't know which committee, passed out a bill to give a tax credit, I believe, if an insurance company issues special insurance rates for low mileage insurance. And that, you know, when you do the calculations on that, that comes out to be about $9,000 a ton of emission reduction. And chippers are going to be much less than that. So that's the story with chippers. Small amount of the total put in by rule, part of the air quality strategy, can be fixed by rule.
Thank you. Any questions for John Ledger? Okay, thank you very much. Representative Berger, you had something you'd passed out. Did you want to talk about that?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you for your indulgence. There's nothing scientific about this. The DEQ, at my request, sent the 0103 Pollution Control Tax Credit Certificates spreadsheet to my office, and I was curious about the chippers right away, and I think the perception comes that out of, if you look at the sheet, 832 entries, 505 have the word chipper in them. So you think there's a lot of chippers there until you do the numbers in terms of the dollars, and it is, as just testified, 1%. So while there's a lot of entries, there isn't a lot of money involved in the chipper. But then I noticed there were a lot of vehicles, so I had him run the vehicles and the vending machines, and I had them run the vending machines, and you could see the percentage. So then I said, what are the top hitters? And that's what you see below, the companies that have make up 49% of the dollar amounts. And I just submit this for your information. In no way do I say this is other than something my staff has done in the last hour at my request. And I found it informative, and I thought you would.
Thank you. For the record, since I'm not sure that this is available on in the room, and certainly not by anyone listening in, you mentioned the 1% of the value of the total amount of value of the credits for chipper. Your list shows 1% for trucks and vehicles and 5% for the
vending machines.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
The representative has.
I have a question about the mathematics on this sheet here. Not that I'm questioning the outcome. Are those, if total tax liability is $68 million, it looks like the amount you have under chippers is $40 million.
No, no, 40,000. Oops, he's got a, yeah, you're right. I think it's supposed to be 40,000.
Yeah, I don't think we saw $40 million.
No, we didn't.
No. Your percentage is the same as what Ledger just asked.
I will double check. As I said, I had him do this in a hurry this morning because I was coming to this meeting and I said, how many chippers? And then when I got beyond chippers, I asked for more. But the 1% certainly is in line with what we just heard.
Well, it must be more than 41% of $68 million would be $680.
If you just flipped a decimal point, it would be 2 decimal points.
Okay, that's fine. I'll go back.
Okay.
I'll go back and read. I asked for percent, not numbers, and that's what I got, 1%.
Okay.
All right. Anything else? All right. With that, then, the chair would move the -12 amendments to House Bill 2652. Is there discussion on those amendments? Objections? All right. Hearing none, the -12 amendments are in the bill. Chair would move the -13 amendments to House Bill 2652. That's the double-dipping amendment. Is there any discussion on that amendment? Any objections? Hearing none, the 13s are in. We have the bill as amended before us. And the chair would move House Bill 2652 as amended by the 12s and 13s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Now is there discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hess.
Thank you. I supported this bill last session, and when I did that, it was part of a compromise that I would like to honor and uphold, in part because if we undo these compromises the following session, I think it takes away the efforts to reach further compromise and build consensus if they know that there's a possibility that these will be undone. Furthermore, when I read this year that, and we see it here in front of us today, that one of the major beneficiaries here was Enron, who received over $1 million of a tax break for this and ended up paying the Oregon minimum $10 tax, it just pushed me off the side on this in terms of supporting it. I don't understand why it was that we allowed Enron to send more than $1 million down to Houston while they paid the minimum $10 tax to Oregon at a time when we're shortening the school year. And I don't understand why we even have, forget about the disgrace that Enron brought to this country and the corporate world. I don't understand why we have a utility like that in this. I mean, where's the economic development strategy to try to get a utility like that, which is a monopoly, and they're not adding jobs, and they're not, in fact, they're laying off people. So I question the strategy there, aside from the Enron part of this. And furthermore, I just, you know, if we need more tools in our economic toolbox, and I do believe we probably do, then let's get some new tools. But it seems like we're putting this rusty hammer with tape on it back in the toolbox every time, and I think the day has passed for this tool, and it's time to honor the compromise that was reached in 2001 and move on to a new century and build the kind of economy that we want here in Oregon that is not held together with garbage trucks and chipper machines, but is held together with something a little more thoughtful.
Okay, thank you. Anything else, Representative Bernhardt?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My understanding of the history of this credit is that it was adopted originally as part of the process of cleaning up the Willamette River during the Tom McCall administration. And the concerns, of course, of dealing with very old-fashioned processes that were extremely polluting at that time. And on the one hand, the desire to get the river cleaned up. On the other hand, the desire not to spring a new set of rules on somebody in a way that would cause severe economic dislocation. Well, we've had these rules now for pushing 40 years. They've been modified, and businesses are on notice that that they have to comply with anti-pollution requirements. There's nothing new here. It's not a secret. It's well understood. I certainly second the comments made by Representative Hass, but I think additionally the reason and the value of having this particular, what did you call it, rusty hammer with tape on it is past, and the need for it is past, and the shrewd and capable businessman has taken into account, I should say business person, has taken into account the needs of pollution control in Oregon and in the United States, and therefore this particular proposal, we ought to be supporting the compromise that was reached in the last session, which eventually phases out the rusty hammer, and if we need some other devices for encouraging business in Oregon, let's look at some of them.
Thank you, Representative Barnhart. Anybody else? Representative Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It seems to me, and I recognize the issues that were raised by my two colleagues about the compromise, but I also know that one of the things that we haven't done terribly effectively so far is to address the issue of the substantial burden that exists in Oregon in order for some of these companies to do business and maintain employment and produce the revenue that truly funds this economy. And this has been, I think, a proven program that has allowed for a cooperative kind of a response from companies, many of the ones that are listed, and I'll just point to a few of them, like LSI Logic and Wacker Siltronic and others, that have really formed, I think, a substantial backbone, both financially and from an economic development standpoint, regionally, for this state. And I think that given the economic environment in which we're in, and no real relief from the obligations which they are forced, and appropriately so, forced to comply with from an environmental standpoint, I believe, Mr. Chairman, that that this bill is, you have directed its amendments to be drafted this session, fundamentally is supportive of where we need to go from an economic standpoint as we assist these companies to be able to continue to conduct business and maintain that level of environmental integrity as we move forward. And so for that purpose, Mr. Chairman, I will be supporting the bill.
Thank you, Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would echo some of these comments. I would not say that this hammer is exactly rusty. I think it has been a useful tool. I also think that in pollution control, the key is not to get the pollution in the first place. It is much easier to be preventative in this area than it is to deal with terrible pollution once it's emerged. And we're also dealing with changing technologies in this whole arena where companies need to be proactive in getting the latest in order to be proactive in preventing pollution from becoming a greater problem. And I think this is a very useful tool for doing that. A chipper is not withstanding when this was conceived. I don't think anyone ever thought of a chipper in that way, and I remember when wigwams dominated the landscape of the Willamette Valley, just pouring pollution out into our air. We've come a long ways, and this has been a useful tool, and I'm going to support keeping it.
Anybody else? Okay, I would just respond. I appreciate Representative Hass's comments on Enron, and I think there's plenty to indict Enron, of course. I'm not sure that it necessarily goes back the other way, though, that Enron necessarily indicts the pollution control tax credit. I think there are lots of other business taxpayers in the state that are using it fairly and appropriately and for the purposes for which it was created, acknowledging, again, apropos to Representative Barnhart's comments, that while it may have been created for one particular use, this, like some of the other things, I think evolves over time to accommodate developments in business as well as in environment and those policies. So, and also, I do acknowledge that this is an evolution as well of the bill that carried the pollution control tax credit forward last session, although, again, looking at this, or the revenue impact of this, clearly the greater share of the revenue impact of this bill comes more from the elements that we see in the governor's own amendments. I acknowledge also that the governor suggested that may have been a little rich, but the governor's office did not propose any amendments to reduce the level of the energy tax credit. He may pursue that on the Senate side, and if that's the case, well, we'll see if there are some further developments down there. But for now, given what we have before us, I'm comfortable that this represents good policy and ready to get this thing to the floor if we have the votes to do it. So, anything else? I didn't mean to have the last word. I'll let somebody else if you want it.
Mr. Chair?
Oh, there you go.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point out one final thing. That our tax expenditure report notes that this tax credit has not been effective and may not be achieving its purpose.
Okay. Thank you for that. We'll see. All right, please call the roll.
Representative Arnold?
No.
Berger?
Aye.
Hath?
No.
Hobson?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Williams?
Aye.
Chair Shadow?
Aye. House Bill 2652, having received a majority of the committee, goes before with a due pass recommendation as amended. Do we have a volunteer for carrier on this one? Okay. I guess I'll take it. Close the work session on House Bill 2652. And with that, committee, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.